Amen. Amen. I'm glad God's good this morning, folks, aren't you? Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, we'll read one verse, verse number 8 of Revelation chapter 14, as we begin our 34th message in our study of the book of Revelation. This will be page 105 of your outline. If those of you that may be following on your outline, it'll be page 105 in your outline. Remember now, chapter 14 is giving kind of a table of contents, if you will, of the entire book of Revelation. There's information in chapter 14 that takes place at the beginning of the tribulation. There's information in chapter 14 that's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. And the verse that we're going to read this morning, verse number 8, is going to actually take place at the very end of the tribulation period, but we're getting a little glimpse of what's going to come in this chapter this morning. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Now here you have a glimpse of the fall of Babylon. It's the first time in the book of Revelation that the word Babylon has appeared. Now folks, up to this point in our study, we have not had the word Babylon used in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8 is the first time that the word is used in the book of Revelation. Now, we want to stop here, examine what Babylon refers to, and I want to share with you a number of statements. These things are in your outline. I will amplify on these things as we come to them, but all of these items are outlined for you in your notes. Now, before I begin, though, let me, as briefly as I can, give you the setting so you'll know where I'm going. At the beginning of the tribulation period, now remember, the tribulation period starts with the signing of the covenant that the Antichrist makes with the nation of Israel. At the beginning of the tribulation period, two great rebuilding programs will begin in the tribulation period. One of those rebuilding programs will be the Jewish people will begin to rebuild their temple. That temple will be built, completed, and the nation of Israel will be worshiping in that temple by the middle of the tribulation period. By the time they get in there good and get things going good, of course, the mid-tribulation point comes. The Antichrist becomes the beast because of his supposed assassination and resurrection. He proclaims himself to be God, sets his image up in the temple, and all the Jewish people have to flee from Jerusalem to the special place that God has prepared for them. Another rebuilding program had taken place, had begun at the beginning of the tribulation period also. The literal city of Babylon began to be rebuilt. That city is going to be the headquarters of the beast during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, that is how I understand the Word of God. And I want to share with you several different statements now this morning to try to set the foundation and to tell you why I believe what I believe concerning this teaching of Babylon in the book of Revelation. Please keep this in mind. Many, many good Bible scholars believe that the word Babylon refers to the literal city of Rome and not to the city of Babylon. If you folks were to get commentaries that were written by, I'm talking about good Bible-believing men that believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, they do no harm whatsoever to the Word of God. They believe that the word Babylon is not referring to the actual city of Babylon, but that Babylon is referring to the city of Rome that is in Italy, primarily not only the city of Rome, but if you wanted to boil it down even closer to that, they would think that it is a reference primarily to the Vatican, that city within a city, if you will, that's located in Rome. Now, with that before you, it is my position that the word Babylon, as it appears in verse number 8 of chapter 14, is a reference to the literal city of Babylon found on the rivers there in what is today modern-day Iraq. As a matter of fact, the ancient Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, is very near the present city of Baghdad. It's not exactly on the site, but Baghdad, modern-day Baghdad that you hear about on the news every day, today, the city of Babylon is in close proximity to that city today, at least the ruins of ancient Babylon. So I believe that Babylon, referred to in verse number 8, is the actual city of Babylon in what is today modern-day Iraq. Now, in your notes, the first thought. The first Babylon mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. It grew into the first great Gentile world power that oppressed the nations. It was a stronghold of pride and idolatry and demon worship and general ungodliness. Satan began his reign over the nations there, and he will ultimately close out his reign there. All false religion has its start in the first city of Babylon. Folks, you've all read about, in the Word of God, the story of Nimrod. The Bible mentions that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, folks, I believe there's two thoughts concerning that. I don't want to spend time right now on this. I've got so much that I want to deal with. Nimrod is referred to as a mighty hunter before the Lord. I believe there's two things brought before us when it talks about Nimrod being a mighty hunter. I believe that it's quite possible that Nimrod did develop quite a reputation as a mighty hunter of wild animals. I believe that that's quite possible. And, well, as a matter of fact, I believe that that's the case. But folks, Nimrod being a mighty hunter, for the most part, as it's given in the Word of God, doesn't have anything to do with the hunting of animals. Nimrod being a mighty hunter, the Word of God has more to do with Nimrod being a hunter of the souls of men. Nimrod was the man that founded the first city, the first empire, if you will, that rebelled against God. Remember the Tower of Babel? God had decreed that man would scatter out over all the face of the earth and replenish the earth. Nimrod led a revolt against God. He said, basically, we'll not do what God wants us to do. We're going to build a great tower. Now, folks, contrary to what we might have heard as a child growing up, I do not believe that the Tower of Babel intended to be built and reach up into heaven to get to where God is. It was a great tower that reached up into the heavens. It was a gathering place, if you will, a focal point. It was a great sign of rebellion against Almighty God, where man said, we'll not do what God wants. We'll gather together in this place, and we'll stay in this place, and we'll become strong, and we'll do what we want to do. Folks, if you studied historically, I don't wish to spend a great deal of time here. Historically, the Babylon that you all know, that we all know as the Babylon that was headed up by King Nebuchadnezzar, that Babylon was started by Nimrod. It was the first civilization, if you will, that rebelled against Almighty God, and all false religion, could I repeat that? All false religion has its birthplace in the original place called Babylon that was started by Nimrod. The name Babylon appears 5 times in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, we've already read it. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 19, the word Babylon appears. In Revelation chapter 18, Babylon appears 3 times. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 2, 10, and 21, the name Babylon appears 5 times in the book of Revelation. You have another use of the word Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. In Revelation 17 and verse 5, you have the term used for the first time and the only time in the book of Revelation. You have the term mystery Babylon used. Folks, I believe that in the usage of the words, that God is distinguishing between those two usages. I believe the five times that the word Babylon is used in the Bible is a reference to the literal city of Babylon. I believe that the term mystery Babylon, which appears in chapter 17, is a reference to the harlot church. We'll get there and study it in detail in chapter 17. We haven't got to that yet. Mystery Babylon is a reference to the false religious system of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and it's that religious system that helps the Antichrist rise to power. Lo and behold, the Antichrist, aided by the false religious system, the harlot, great harlot church of that day, helps the Antichrist rise to world dominance. And in the middle of the tribulation, after his supposed death and resurrection, what does he do? He turns around and, aided by the 10 nations of the revived Roman Empire that he's the head of, they destroy the harlot church. And he decrees in the last 3.5 years that only the worship of him will be allowed. Now, Mystery Babylon, chapter 17 and verse 5, this is in your notes, is the religious entity that will be in place in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It is headquartered in the city of Rome and will be destroyed in the middle of the tribulation period. The other five references to Babylon are a reference to the literal city of Babylon that will be rebuilt and be the world center of trade and commerce of the tribulation period, or at least it'll be the world center for commerce and trade in the tribulation period, at least in the last 3.5 years. There's a great debate, however, over whether Babylon really means Babylon or whether it's actually a reference to the city of Rome. Now, folks, there's a great deal of confusion over that. I will tell you before I proceed any further that I did hold, for many years, I held the position that Babylon was a reference to the city of Rome. I was never real comfortable with it, but I did hold that view. Now I want to share with you, at this point in time, I'm to the place that I do believe that Babylon is a reference to the literal city of Babylon. And I want to share with you two reasons why I believe that. Now, folks, my position, as in all things, as I've told you as we study the book of Revelation, my purpose here is not to try to convince you to believe what I believe about the book of Revelation. My purpose is to teach you what I believe that the Bible teaches, to try to give you, as much as time will permit me, why I believe what I believe, and then have you to study it on your own, and you'll come to your own conclusions as to what you believe the Word of God is teaching. I have two reasons, though, why that I believe Babylon is a reference to the literal city of Babylon. The first one is this. I see no scriptural justification for saying that Babylon, and the five references to it in the book of Revelation, is anything other than literal. Could I turn back? If you permit me to turn back in the notes, I want to read you something that we gave way back when we first started. On page 24 of your notes, there was a statement that I made as we got started, and I want to read that statement for you again. It's the last sentence of a paragraph there. It says this: as we go forward, no position will be accepted which cannot be arrived at based on a literal interpretation of the Scriptures, or that would have been unknowable to the earliest readers of the book of Revelation. Now, folks, I have set a foundation for my study of the book of Revelation. That foundation is simply this. I believe in a literal interpretation of the Word of God. Now, folks, a literal interpretation doesn't mean that there's no figures of speech or no symbolism. It does mean, though, that unless the Bible gives us a reason to take something symbolically or figuratively, that we are to understand it as being literal. Now, applying that rule, I believe that Babylon means simply Babylon. I believe that Babylon means simply Babylon. Now we're getting somewhere. There's a reason why. Now folks, obviously there has to be some reason why Bible commentators would say that when the Bible says Babylon, that it really means the city of Rome. There's got to be a reason. They didn't just make that up and come up with it. There's got to be a reason, and we're getting there. And so you stay with me. One of the reasons, though, that I believe that Babylon means Babylon is because applying the rule of a literal interpretation, I see no justification whatsoever for believing it otherwise. The second reason that I believe that Babylon means Babylon, is because of the interpretation of some prophetic passages found in the Old Testament. Trying to be as brief as I can with this. If you turn back in your Bible, I'm not going to turn there right now to read all of this, but if you turn back in your Bible to Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, and to Jeremiah chapters 27, 50, and 51, there are prophecies concerning the destruction of Babylon. Now, folks, to put it in a nutshell, many Bible commentators believe, or one of the reasons they believe that Babylon is wrong, is because they go back to these prophetic portions of the Word of God in Isaiah and Jeremiah primarily. And they say that the Bible says that Babylon was going to be destroyed, and once it was destroyed, it would never be inhabited again. Therefore, when the Bible in Revelation mentions Babylon, it must be a reference to the city of Rome, because prophetically, Babylon is never going to be inhabited again. Now folks, there's a real problem with that. And here's the real problem. The prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel teach that upon the destruction of Babylon, that the city will never be inhabited again. The Bible describes the destruction as being utter and complete. The city is destroyed absolutely down to its foundations. There's nothing left. There'll never be the sound of human voices again or the playing of musical instruments again in the city of Babylon. Now here's the problem. The problem, folks, is that's never happened historically. You see, in 538 B.C., the Persian monarch Cyrus the Great came in and defeated the city of Babylon, the nation of Babylon. And the city was defeated and the city was taken captive. But folks, historically, the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah were never fulfilled in that destruction of Babylon. There was never a time that it hasn't been inhabited. You go back and you study historically about it, and folks, the city wasn't totally destroyed when Cyrus came in 538. Yes, they defeated the Babylonian army, and yes, they took control of the territory and the city, but people continued to live there, and actually the city of Babylon remained a fairly sizable city And it went down gradually over several hundred years. And folks, by the way, there are still today villages on the site of the original city of Babylon. There are still people living on that site today. And if that's the case, then the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel could not have been fulfilled in 538 B.C. Now, let me turn to Isaiah very quickly. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Let me just read just a couple of verses. I can't spend too much time here. Revelation chapter 13 verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. In verse number 17, behold, I stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Look at verses 19 and 20. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God, now listen to this, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Folks, that has never been fulfilled. That has never happened. Now, in prophecy, there's something that happens oftentimes in prophecy, and this would be great. I'd love to spend 6 or 8 weeks on this and just go through the prophecies and show you in the Word of God how this works. Folks, many, many times in prophecy, there is both a near and full fulfillment of something that has been prophesied. Many times one of the Old Testament prophets will prophesy a certain thing, and when that prophecy actually comes about, a portion of that prophecy is fulfilled in a rather short period of time, but the complete fulfillment of it is not until a later time. I submit to you that's exactly what you have in Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning Babylon. In the verses that I just read, it talked about the fact that the Medes were going to come in and they were going to destroy or conquer Babylon. And they did, folks. They did historically. The Bible goes on to say, though, that it goes on to say that it'll never be inhabited from generation to generation. Folks, that's never happened. That's never happened. You see, Babylon wasn't destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, you mean you're saying something's wrong with the Bible? No, there's nothing wrong with the Bible. The Bible is exactly right, and that's exactly what my foundation is built on. The Bible is exactly right, and it's true in everything that it says. And when the Bible says that Babylon is going to be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, folks, they were destroyed completely and utterly by an act of Almighty God. That's going to happen to Babylon. It hasn't happened yet, though. We get to chapter 18 of Revelation, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Babylon is going to be destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Babylon is going to be destroyed in literally 1 hour's time. Folks, in 1 hour's time, Babylon is going to be destroyed. It'll never be inhabited again. It'll be completely gone. There'll never be another voice heard from Babylon. There'll never be another musical instrument played in Babylon. But folks, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen later on. It's going to happen later on. Now, I believe that Babylon means simply Babylon. Now, if you look at your notes again, as I see it, we've got two facts that need to be reconciled. One is the association of the beast
and Satan were the Roman Empire and the city of Rome. The second is the relationship of the city of Rome with the city of Babylon. Now, folks, do you remember? We've already came through this. We saw the interpretation given in the Bible concerning the seven horns. Remember what the Bible said? The Bible taught us that the seven horns are seven mountains, and that the seven horns were seven kings or seven kingdoms. At that time, in chapter 13, when we were studying that,
chapter 13, chapters 12 and 13 and 17 is mentioned.
We mentioned that the seven hills is a reference to the city of Rome, the city that sits on seven hills. And I believe that's the case. Now, here's what I believe. In the beginning of the tribulation period, the Antichrist rises to power as the head of a 10-nation confederacy that represents a revived Roman Empire. That 10-nation confederacy has a headquarters, if you will, at the city of Rome. Primarily, it's a religious conglomerate that's headquartered at Rome. It's the Harlot Church of chapter 17, and we're going to look at it in detail when we get there. That Harlot Church champions the cause of the Antichrist. Can you imagine? Religion is going to be the greatest promoter of the Antichrist that there is on earth during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That religious conglomerate, that Harlot Church, is going to promote the Antichrist and encourage the world to follow his leadership during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's at the city of Rome, primarily the Vatican. Now, you say you're saying it's the Roman Catholic Church. Well, yes and no. It includes the Roman Catholic Church. But folks, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. It's not just the Roman Catholic Church. It's all the false religions of the world are come together to work together. It's a huge ecumenical conglomerate that's came together. Every religion known to man comes together in that day. They don't need God or the true God, obviously, because they're worshiping Satan, really. It's a religious monstrosity that comes together and promotes the Antichrist and helps to sweep him to world dominance. He rides that ride for a while until he gets to the middle of the tribulation period. Now remember, Satan's the one that in the affairs of man is controlling things, but the Lord Jesus Christ is actually the one that's controlling the whole thing that's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ is allowing these things to go on to accomplish His will on the judgment of the earth. They get to the middle of the tribulation period. Satan now is to the place that he doesn't want to share worship with anything, even if it is a false religion. He moves on the beast, the supposedly assassinated and now resurrected Antichrist. He moves upon him to set an image up in the temple in Jerusalem, proclaim himself to be God, and send out a decree and say, listen, I want all the world to worship me and me only, worship my image, and if anybody does not worship my image, they're going to be put to death. The false prophet has power to make that image speak, and he is the one that is in charge of policing the effort of worldwide worship. The ten nations that the Antichrist is the head of, they destroy this ecumenical church of the first 3.5 years. All of its leaders are killed. All of its places of worship are stopped. And in their place, he sets up his image And he says, you must worship me only. Back at your notes, let's start over. As I see it, we have two facts that must be reconciled. One is the association of the beast and Satan with the Roman Empire and the city of Rome. The second is the relationship of the city of Rome with the city of Babylon. Here are my thoughts on the matter. The Antichrist rises to power in the early part of the tribulation, aided by two entities. The first is the 10-nation confederation, which represents a revived Roman Empire. The second, and one that's just as important, is the great whore or the harlot church that helps the Antichrist gain worldwide acceptance. Remember that this harlot church is headquartered in Rome, primarily or specifically the Vatican, but is much more than the Roman Catholic Church during these early years of the tribulation. While the Antichrist is consolidating his power, the city of Babylon is being rebuilt to exceed the splendor of the days of Nebuchadnezzar. When all is ready in Babylon, now watch it. When all is ready in Babylon, and it's going to be ready by the middle of the tribulation period, then the move is going to take place. The Antichrist beast will move the world center of commerce and trade and politics to the gloriously restored Babylon. At mid-tribulation, the Antichrist beast breaks his covenant with Israel, sets himself up in the temple of Jerusalem as God, and aided by the 10-nation confederacy, destroys the harlot church. During the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, his headquarters will be the restored Babylon. He'll demand all people everywhere to worship him only. And remember, everything that he's doing is in the power of Satan. So folks, to repeat, I keep repeating, I want you to get it in your mind. The first three and a half years of the tribulation, the Antichrist has a headquarter, if you will, at Rome. By mid-tribulation, Babylon has been rebuilt. The Vatican is destroyed. The harlot church is destroyed. All the leaders of it are killed. And the Antichrist, now the beast, is going to rule the last 3.5 years from the literal city of Babylon, located on the Euphrates River, which is in what you and I know as modern-day Iraq. A lot more that I want to say. We'll start here next time, and we'll continue our thoughts on this matter.